Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 28th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks get a lift after China eases its strict COVID protocols.
Banks boosted dividend payouts after acing the Fed's stress tests.
ECB President Christine Lagarde says rates are going higher.
And the January 6th committee adds a surprise hearing later today.
It's primary day in New York and six other states. Plus, it is sentencing day for Ghislaine Maxwell in the Jeffrey Epstein sexual abuse case. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another comeback win by the Yankees, and Kyrie Irving is opting in with the Nets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com.
And U.S. futures higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 18 points, Dow futures up 164, NASDAQ futures up 47, and the 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds, yield 3.23%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the lift in stocks comes after a major shift to China's COVID-19 policy. China's cutting the quarantine period to 10 days from up to 3 weeks for inbound visitors. We get more from Bloomberg's John Liu in Beijing.
The significance is the amount of cross-border travel, the amount of business people coming in and out have been greatly reduced since the pandemic, largely because of that 21 days of quarantine people would potentially have to do when they come in. This is a substantial reduction. It's half of what it used to be. Not only is it for travelers, it's also for people who come into close contact with an infected person.
Bloomberg's John Liu says Asia's equities erased losses to climb for a fourth session, and tourism-related stocks led the gains.
Well, Nathan, U.S. futures are also getting a boost on China easing COVID restrictions. Yesterday, stocks started the week on a losing note. But Aaron Kennan, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, says there are some optimistic signs for investors.
We are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, and I know it may not be in vogue to suggest this, but inflation metrics such as, you know, for example, copper down 24%, nickel off 50%. I was looking at shipping rates. They're down dramatically over the last couple of months. Aluminum's off 35%, iron ore, wheat, even oil's off double digits right now.
Clear Harbor Asset Management CEO Aaron Kennan still recommends investors be cautious.
Yeah, so does Goldman Sachs, Karen. That firm's strategists say U.S. profit margin estimates are too optimistic, and that'll put stocks at risk of more declines when Wall Street analysts downgrade expectations. Goldman expects aggregate margins for S&P 500 companies to remain flat in 2023, even if the economy does not contract. They say the risk is lower for the 10 biggest companies on the index, which account for 19% of its earnings.
Well, Nathan, bank stocks are higher in early trading. They boosted dividends following success in passing bank stress tests. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Bank of America announced a dividend increase while Morgan Stanley boosted its payout while saying it will repurchase as much as $20 billion of stock. Morgan Stanley boosted its quarterly dividend to 77.5 cents a share from 70 cents. Bank of America's payout climbs to 22 cents from 21 cents. State Street Corp and Truist Financial also announced dividend increases. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We're watching shares of Nike this morning. They're down 2.5% in early trading. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner reports the company offered a downbeat full-year forecast.
The sportswear company said gross margin will be flat to down 50 basis points, and revenue is expected to grow this fiscal year by 1% in the low double digits. Nike is also being cautious on China. In the last quarter, sales in the Greater China region fell 20% at constant currencies. Nike still views China as a long-term growth market, and the company will continue to invest in the region. Even with that China weakness, overall revenue for the last quarter beat estimates, and Nike's board authorized a new $18 billion stock stock buyback program. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. We now turn overseas, where the European Central Bank's annual forum in Sintra is underway. In her keynote speech earlier this morning, ECB President Christine Lagarde said rates are going higher to combat inflation.
In July, we intend to raise our policy rates for the first time in 11 years. And we have provided some guidance for our September policy meeting and the rate path that we envisage thereafter.
ECB President Christine Lagarde signaled the July rate hike will be a quarter of a point.
Well, this morning, Karen, President Biden's headed to Madrid for the start of the three-day NATO summit. The White House says he spoke with Turkey's president on the way. Biden's leaving a G7 meeting in Germany where leaders accused Russia of war crimes for attacking a Ukrainian shopping mall. Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky also condemned the attack.
Only terrorists who have no place on earth could strike on such a location. This is not a mistaken missile strike. It is a calculated Russian strike on this shopping center.
President Zelensky addressed the summit through an interpreter. The G7 wrapped up with an urgent call for ministers to explore a price cap on Russian oil and gas.
Well, back here at home, Nathan, the January 6th committee has quickly added an additional hearing. It's scheduled for today. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
A bit of a surprise. The committee signaled last week, though, that it had obtained new information, and it obviously thinks it is important enough to change the schedule like this. Sources say it will center on information from documentary filmmaker Alex Holder about footage he has of Donald Trump after the election and leading up to the assault on the Capitol by his supporters. It also has interviews with family members, including Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, and Eric Trump. Holder also says it has never before seen footage of the insurrection attempt at the Capitol. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. S&P futures right now up 18 points. Dow futures are higher by 163 points. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 47 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield 3.23%. Yield on the 2-year 3.12. NYMEX crude's up 1.5%, up $1.66 at $111.24 a barrel. And right now the euro is at 1.0588 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and the check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, 66 degrees in Central Park. Heads up, if you take the sawmill, there's a downed tree northbound Green Lane in Bedford. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Seven states, including New York, are set to host primary elections today. The first election since last week's Supreme Court ruling eliminating the constitutional right to an abortion. For the Democrats, New York Governor Kathy Hochul faces Tom Suozzi and Jumaane Williams for the gubernatorial nomination. Rob Astorino, Andrew Giuliani, Harry Wilson, and Lee Zeldin, who has been endorsed by former Vice President Mike Pence, are running for the GOP nomination for governor. A judge has blocked New York City from letting non-citizens vote for mayor and other municipal offices. Republicans challenged the measure as unconstitutional, and a Staten Island judge agreed with the GOP in the ruling. The law's supporters said it gave an electoral voice to many people who have made a home in the city and paid taxes, but face tough paths to citizenship. It is the latest tragedy to claim the lives of migrants smuggled across the border from Mexico to the U.S. 46 people are dead after being abandoned in a tractor trailer on a remote back road in San Antonio. 16 people were hospitalized, including four children. San Antonio Police Chief Bill McManus.
A worker who heard a cry for help came out to investigate, found a trailer with the doors partially open. Opened them up to take a look and found a number of deceased individuals inside.
Chief McManus says three people have been arrested. At least three people are dead after an Amtrak train hit a dump truck in rural Missouri and derailed. This man was a passenger on board.
Seats were coming apart, bags were going everywhere. And then after it stopped, you could smell the fumes, and so people started panicking, thinking it was going to catch fire, so we tried to get out as quick as possible.
Federal investigators will be on the scene today. Ghislaine Maxwell will be sentenced today in New York for helping the wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. Maxwell's lawyers have asked the judge to sentence her to no more than 5 years, while prosecutors say she deserves at least 30 years behind bars. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
Thanks, Nathan. A near upset in the Bronx. Yankees have the best record in baseball. Oakland A's have the worst. And yet the A's got to Jordan Montgomery in the third inning, scored five times, led 5-1. Sure enough, the Yanks came back. A bizarre seventh inning when they were helped by two catcher's interference calls against the A's, Sean Murphy. Josh Donaldson, Jose Trevino both had two-run doubles. Yanks scored the last eight runs. They won 9-5. Not quite the emotion of Sunday's comeback win over Houston, but Aaron Boone still pleased.
A good one coming off a, you know, obviously a high energy, intense series. You know, come out here and get a little rain early. I thought her energy was good, and obviously a great finish.
Yanks now 32-9 at home. The Astros are still in New York after that split in the Bronx. They visit the Mets tonight. The feeling was things were not good between Kyrie Irving and the Nets, and so Irving was going to pass up the $37 million, become a free agent now. Perhaps there wasn't as much interest as he expected. Irving is opting in. He could still be traded. Nets GM Sean Marks hinted, wasn't thrilled with some of Irving's ways, said he likes players who are available, which Kyrie often is not. Opening day at Wimbledon, the defending champ Novak Djokovic won in four sets. Carlos Alcaraz, the 19-year-old Spaniard, seeded fifth, needed five sets. So did John Isner. American Danielle Collins, seeded seventh. She made it to the Australian Open final. She lost her first round match. Marlon Briscoe has died. He was 76. In 1968, he was the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos, the first African-American starting QB in pro football history. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures now up 17 points. Dow futures up 153. NASDAQ futures are higher by 43 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield 3.23%. Up next, the latest from the G7 as President Biden now heads to the NATO summit. Bloomberg's Rosalind Matheson joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine and a high near 80 today, mid-80s with a sunny sky tomorrow, sunny and hot by Thursday with a high expected near 90. Right now, 66 and cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are rising after China softened its strict COVID protocols, easing investor concern about global growth. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are higher with S&P futures up 17 points, Dow futures up 155, and NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32, yield 3.23%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up $1.77 at $111.33 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $18.26 an ounce. The euro 1.0589 against the dollar. British pound 1.2265 and the yen at 135.95. And looking at Bitcoin, it's up 0.5% at $21,000. Today we're watching for reports on wholesale inventories at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9 we get two reports on home prices and at 10 consumer confidence. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The January 6th House panel investigating the U.S. Capitol riot is holding a surprise hearing today with an unidentified witness. The last-minute proceedings are being cloaked in secrecy, raising expectations for new bombshells in the sweeping investigation. Rescuers are searching through charred rubble of a shopping mall for more victims of a Russian missile strike that has killed at least 18 and wounded scores of others in a Ukrainian city. The UN Security Council scheduled an emergency meeting today to discuss the attack. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Nationals and Orioles. The Red Sox lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on the summits overseas. President Biden is moving on from the G7 in the Bavarian Alps to a three-day NATO summit in Madrid, as both G7 and NATO leaders are focused on the short and long-term challenges of Russian aggression and a rising China. Joining us now from Bavaria, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson. Roz, it's great to speak with you this morning. Thanks for being with us. I guess one of the biggest developments to come out of the G7 is this talking about Russian oil and gas price caps. I guess that gets to the challenge, particularly in Europe, on how to punish Russia for the invasion without hurting the European economy.
Well, that's right. So we're just getting the details now of the final communique of the leaders as they wrap up their meeting here. And as expected, they're committing more broadly to the idea of a cap on Russian oil prices. As you say, the imperative there is to limit the amount of money that's going into Vladimir Putin's war coffers, because, of course, with energy prices so high, he's benefiting enormously, and that's really helping him fund his war machine. So being unable to fully stop him selling oil to other countries, the least they can do is try and make sure he can't get a good price for it. The question is, how do you actually enact a price cap? So what they're doing now is simply saying they think that there's some possibility here and they need to go away and try and figure out exactly how to do it. So many steps still to be overcome before any actual price cap would be put in place.
What's the challenge, Roz, for the G7 and NATO to confront Russia while putting more of a focus now on China and the economic challenge that the world's second biggest economy poses?
Well, that's right. It's a juggling act for these nations. Of course, the U.S. President Joe Biden, when he came in, made clear that his number one foreign policy priority was China and tackling China's expanding economic and strategic reach. And then, of course, came the war in Ukraine, Russia's invasion, which kind of upended that and has caused him to be distracted from his primary task. So the question is, how can you continue to deal with Russia while not taking your eye off the ball on China? And in some way, the two are interlinked. Of course, China has refused to condemn Russia for its actions in Ukraine. It's still buying Russian oil. Its companies are still trading with Russian companies. And President Xi Jinping is perhaps not leaning on the Russian president as hard as he could to curtail his actions in Ukraine. But certainly it's very difficult for countries like the U.S. to deal with these crises at the same time. Meanwhile, China is simply building its influence as every day goes by, but certainly at least a statement here of intent to try and refocus attention on China.
And even before this NATO summit gets underway in Madrid, Spain, we've heard a lot of developments from the military alliance, including word of this new strategic posture document that's going to mention China for the first time. And Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg saying they're really going to increase the rapid response force to confront Russia. What further developments are we expecting, Roz, from the NATO gathering?
Well, there are those two things that you've mentioned, but the biggest issue on the table, arguably, for NATO as leaders meet there is a way to try and convince Turkey to allow Sweden and Finland to join NATO. Of course, Turkey is obstructing that membership application, citing what he says is their support for what he calls Kurdish terrorists, and Erdogan will be at that meeting. There's a possibility he'll even sit down with the U.S. president. That would be an effort by the U.S. to try and mediate through that and find a way for Turkey to agree to unblock that membership. Right now, though, of course, they're pretty dug in. The question is, does the U.S. have to provide Turkey with something in order to get them over the line? Does it have to sort of talk about possibly giving them greater military weapons, perhaps even replacement F-16 fighter jets? Is that a way to convince Erdogan to show him he's gotten something for what really is brinkmanship on the NATO front? But certainly that's the key issue on the table there.
Yeah, and certainly underscoring perhaps the importance of the Sweden-Finland NATO candidacy. We got word from the White House just this morning that President Biden spoke with Turkish President Erdogan even as he makes his way over over to that summit in Madrid, Spain. Rosalyn Matheson, Executive Editor for International Government for Bloomberg News, thanks for being with us this morning, getting all the latest on both these summits now underway. The G7 wrapping up in the Bavarian Alps as the NATO leaders get set to meet for 3 days in Madrid, Spain. Looking ahead to the market open on Wall Street, futures are moving higher. We have S&P futures up 19 points right now, Dow futures up 173, and NASDAQ futures higher by 52 points. Looking at bonds, the 10-year is down 9/32, the yield 3.23%, and the yield on the 2-year just about 3.13% for the 2-year Treasury note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991 to Boston, Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960 to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, stocks are rising after China made a major shift in its COVID-19 policy. It cut its quarantine period to 10 days from 3 weeks for inbound visitors. Bloomberg's senior executive editor John Liu in Beijing outlines the reasons for the move.
The caseload has come down substantially. The other thing is the economy has obviously been pummeled. Last week we had President Xi Jinping coming out and saying that the government is going to do what it can to hit this year's growth target. If the government is vowing and if it's willing to take steps like this, it's possible we might get closer to 5.5% than previously thought.
Bloomberg's John Liu says stocks in Asia erased losses to climb for a fourth session.
Yeah, Karen, futures are getting a boost as well after stocks started the week in the U.S. on a losing note. Riverfront Investment Group chief investment strategist Chris Constantino says with the outlook remaining unclear, investors should put their money in safe assets.
We think that clipping coupons in the form of, you know, dividend yields from safe, high quality, high cash flow type equities, as well as certain parts of the fixed income world, those types of instruments are really going to be an investor's best friend, we think, for the next few years.
Chris Constantinos of Riverfront Investment Group says the macro environment in the U.S. and globally remains uncertain.
Well, overseas, Nathan, the European Central Bank's annual forum in Sintra is underway. ECB President Christine Lagarde addressed interest rates and inflation in a keynote speech.
In response to the changing inflation outlook, we have consistently followed the path of policy normalization since December last year, sequentially adjusting our policy stance.
ECB President Christine Lagarde said inflation in Europe is expected to remain undesirably high in the foreseeable future.
Well, President Biden's on his way to Madrid, Karen, for a 3-day NATO summit with the Group of Seven gathering coming to a close. The White House says the president spoke with Turkey's president on the way.
Well, back here at home, Nathan, the January 6th committee added an additional hearing scheduled for today. Sources say it'll center around information and footage from documentary filmmaker Alex Holder. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And futures this morning are gaining. S&P futures up 21 points, Dow futures up 180, NASDAQ futures up 56, the DAX in Germany up about 0.8%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 66 degrees in Central Park, and delays are building on the upper level of the George Washington Bridge after an earlier accident. Details coming up in traffic. Michael Barr's here first with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Today marks the first election since the Supreme Court revoked a woman's constitutional right to an abortion. It is a top issue in multiple races and primaries in seven states, including New York. Governor Kathy Hochul faces Tom Suozzi and Jumaane Williams for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination. Rob Astorino, Andrew Giuliani, Harry Wilson, and Lee Zeldin are running for the GOP nomination for governor. A Staten Island judge has blocked New York City from letting non-citizens vote for mayor and other municipal offices. The judge agreed with Republicans who challenged the measure as unconstitutional. A federal court in Louisiana temporarily blocked the state from enforcing its abortion ban. Louisiana is one of 13 states with triggering laws that took effect when the Supreme Court overturned the federal right to an abortion. Abortion clinics there immediately sued to stop Louisiana's ban, saying it lacked safeguards to prevent the state from arbitrarily enforcing it. Police say 46 people were found dead in a semi-trailer parked in San Antonio, Texas, likely victims of heat strokes. Another 16 were taken to area hospitals. Temperatures climbed to 103 degrees in San Antonio. Mayor Ron Nirenberg suggests that the people who died were immigrants.
We are dealing with a horrific human tragedy. So I would urge you all to think compassionately and pray for the deceased, the ailing, the families.
Mayor Ron Nirenberg, three people have been taken into custody. Three people are dead after an Amtrak train hit a dump truck in rural Missouri between Kansas City and St. Louis. The train then derailed. This man was a passenger on board.
The thing that's going to stick with me the most is the smell of just the train, the grinding of the metal and everything.
NTSB investigators will be on the accident scene today. Ghislaine Maxwell will be sentenced today in New York for helping the wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. The prosecution will likely paint a picture of how Epstein and Maxwell flaunted their riches and associations with prominent people to groom vulnerable girls and then exploit them. Maxwell denies abusing anyone. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street, John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees' 54th win of the year, their 32nd at home, and it was their 23rd come-from-behind victory. In fact, in each of the Yanks' last four wins, they trailed by at least three runs. They were down by four as the lowly Oakland A's scored five times in the third inning, but the Yanks put up six in the seventh. The first run was scored with a walk, a catcher's interference call, a hit-by-pitch, and then another catcher's interference. Josh Donaldson, Jose Trevino then had two run doubles. Yanks beat the A's 9-5. The Mets are back home tonight to play the Astros. NBA free agency comes next week. Kyrie Irving will not be a free agent. He's opting in with the Nets. He'll make $37 million, can be a free agent next year, and we'll see if the Nets still try to trade him. They like Irving the player, but maybe not as thrilled with some of the baggage that comes with him. John Wall, a one-time All-Star guard, hasn't played much lately due to injury. He's said to be headed to the L.A. Clippers. Deshaun Watson has a hearing today before the former judge who will decide if he's to be suspended by the NFL for sexual misconduct with numerous women. A year ago at Wimbledon, Serena Williams hurt her hamstring in the opening round. Wasn't known if she would play again, but the now 40-year-old seven-time Wimbledon champ will be on center court today.
I didn't retire. I just needed to heal physically, mentally. I had no plans, to be honest. I just didn't know when I would come back. I didn't know how I would come back. And obviously Wimbledon is such a great place to be.
Still chasing a 24th Grand Slam title, which would tie the all-time record. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Good to see her back. All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is back with us this morning. Kriti, what's on your eye this morning?
Well, let's start with the earnings story, Nathan. Nike coming out with some kind of interesting mixed results here. I'm going to break it down. NKE is your ticker. The shares are down about 3% in the pre-market. And it's kind of interesting because they beat their earnings overall. If you actually even look at this on a constant currency basis, which essentially gets rid of all the currency fluctuations. We know that the dollar has been extremely strong. So any kind of overseas sales or profits, you have to bring it back to the States and then convert it into dollars, which means you're essentially making less profit when you kind of make that conversion. But when you calculate it on a constant currency basis, global sales actually rose 3%. Remember, this is in an era where a lot of people are saying consumers around the world are going to start pulling back, pinching pennies. and he's trying to get kind of ahead of a lot of that recession talk. Nevertheless, Nike coming out on top. But here's what the shares are reacting to here. It's that downbeat full year forecast. And they're saying a lot of it is coming from the issues in the Chinese market. They say it's a very long-term gain for them in the China market. But recently, in this quarter especially, their sales dropped 20%, Nathan, and it has everything to do with those COVID lockdowns. They're just not able to get their product out, but they're also not able to really get those sales in that market that was supposed to be so lucrative. And that's a theme that you're seeing really around the world.
Yeah, and a theme we're seeing this morning with the positive sentiment more broadly with China at least lifting some restrictions. Now, I see Robinhood's on your list. Some merger talk there?
Potentially. I'm going to say, use a very technical term here, Nathan, wishy-washy.
That this is technical.
Getting really deep this morning at 6:30. Yes, we're looking at Robinhood shares. HOOD is your ticker. It's down about, well, let's just call it 4% here this morning. It's interesting because this came from news yesterday afternoon that Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX crypto exchange is exploring whether it might be able to acquire Robinhood, according to people with knowledge of the matter. That being said, Dow Jones now reporting that the CEO says that they're not in active talks with Robinhood. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're not still exploring a path, but that they're not in active talks. So what the share prices have done, yes, they're down about 4% in the pre-market, but they were up 14%. Yesterday afternoon. So if you actually look at a net, the shares are actually positive when you look at it the last 24 hours, which is kind of a weird way to look at it. But keep an eye on these shares as we get more commentary on it. And I'll leave you with one last one. Spirit Airlines talking about M&A here. SABE up 4%. JetBlue boosting its all-cash bid in response to an increased offer by Frontier. Remember, this is days before that crucial shareholder vote on June 30th.
Yeah, we've been following that saga for days and looks like we'll continue to do so. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us on a morning where shares as a whole are moving higher on that word from China that COVID quarantines for inbound travelers are going to be cut in half. S&P futures are up 21 points. Dow futures up 186. NASDAQ futures are higher by 59 points. And the 10-year Treasury is down 8.30 seconds. The yield 3.23%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine with a high near 80 today, mid-80s, and sunny tomorrow. Sunny and hot for Thursday, the high near 90. Right now, cloudy and 67 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are on the rise this morning. We go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now. Dow futures up 183 points. S&P's gained 22, while NASDAQ futures rise by 57. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.23%. Gold is little changed. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin is higher by 0.5%. Shanghai rose 0.9% overnight. Note that China cut its quarantine travel time, while European markets are in the green, led by 1% gains in Spain and the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, wholesale inventories, and at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence and Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Nike gave a downbeat guidance. Shares are down 2.5% in the pre-market, and Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, and Goldman Sachs all raise their dividends. In deal news, the FTX CEO said there are no active talks about a Robinhood takeover. And in other news, Goldman Sachs said U.S. profit margin estimates are too optimistic. Wrapping things up, Boston Beer was cut to sell at Goldman Sachs, Snowflake raised to buy at Jefferies, and Verizon was raised to sector outperform over at Scotiabank. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Mystery surrounds a surprise January 6th hearing that will take place this afternoon. The committee says the hearing will present recently obtained evidence raising the expectations of new bombshells. Rescuers are searching through charred rubble of a shopping mall for more victims of a Russian missile strike that has killed at least 18 and wounded scores of others in a Ukrainian city. Many of the more than 1,000 people inside managed to escape. The UN Security Council scheduled an emergency meeting today to discuss the attack. In baseball, the Yankees won, along with the Nationals and Orioles. The Red Sox lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news now in science and technology with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT is dedicated to bolstering support for female and minority students pursuing careers in high-paying STEM industries. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. NASA wants to experiment with a new orbit around the moon that it hopes to use in the coming years to once again land astronauts on the lunar surface. So it's sending up a test satellite from New Zealand with the launch scheduled for later today. If successful, the Capstone CubeSat satellite, only about the size of a microwave oven, will be the first to take the new path around the moon and will send back vital information for at least 6 months. Google's cloud computing division is preparing to reveal the carbon footprint for its workspace apps as it builds out its suite of tools to help customers assess their impact on the environment. The move by Apple-owned Google Cloud expands, or Alphabet-owned Google Cloud, I should have said, expands measures unveiled last year to help clients measure and reduce the gross carbon emissions of using Google Cloud services. Google aims to be completely decarbonized by 2030. And Netflix is looking to Asia, seeking to both maintain growth in the one region where it's still adding subscribers and replicated success there in other parts of the world. The company says despite plans to curb overall spending, investment in Asia will keep growing, including financing for the production of local films and series. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where we're coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street, and it's now time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include President Biden heading to a three-day NATO summit following gatherings from the G7 in the Bavarian Alps. The White House dodging calls to use federal property for abortions after the post-Roe decision. And the January 6th committee holding a surprise hearing today on new evidence. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on all these stories as we continue to follow President Biden's progress through the summits overseas. Emily, what should we be watching for today from the NATO summit?
So a couple different things. One of the big ones is exactly what the NATO summit is going to be doing in terms of China. Right now, they're working on some draft language, but it seems like they're going to be labeling China a strategic challenge in a policy document going forward, noting that they're going to highlight some concerns about China in areas like cybersecurity, disinformation. You know, this is something that definitely certain members of NATO have wanted to happen. Others are a little more lenient, just because of their tight economic relationships that they have with China. But it's gotten to the point where a lot of countries felt like they needed to do something to address just international concerns that China has raised over time. And so we're going to be seeing that that particular strong language coming out today. Obviously, today's the start of this three-day summit. And we're also expecting them, in addition to China, of course, to focus on Russia and Ukraine, and as well as what needs to happen in that particular situation, if they're going to be able to continue to support them, how long they will be able to continue to support Ukraine in its battle, and what that support will look like.
And just the last hour, Emily, we got word from the White House that President Biden spoke with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan as he makes his way to the NATO summit. Of course, Turkey has been pretty strongly opposed to Sweden and Finland joining the alliance. Could we see more developments there?
Definitely, I think that'll be something that's going to wind up being discussed today as far as next steps. It's certainly there are many already countries of NATO who are open to having them be a part of the summit. We know from the White House that they, after their the phone call that the leaders discussed Russia as well as Ukraine, as well as terrorism. And the White House says that they will take historic actions together when they get to NATO. I definitely think it's a good point to raise that you do have the two countries who are seeking NATO membership that will be a part of this overall discussion. And I think it will be one thing to watch for of many today as this conference gets underway.
And let's turn to domestic politics, where, of course, the abortion issue continues to be front and center following the Supreme Court's decision last week. The White House is talking a little bit about this idea from some Democrats that federal lands be used for the procedure in states where abortion rights are being restricted now.
Yeah, this is something that we've heard from a number of lawmakers call for this to happen. It's a way just to get abortion clinics closer to folks in red states that have banned the practice. However, Vice President Kamala Harris said the White House is not considering opening up abortion clinics on federal lands. And White House officials told Bloomberg that it risks putting women and providers in legal jeopardy in state courts if they were to do that. But Nathan, there is a question about what the White House needs to be doing here. The White House knew this decision was coming. They saw the draft leaked back in May, and there are some concerns among progressives and even some moderates within the Democratic Party that simply Biden is not doing enough here, that he needs to use the power of the presidency. Certainly, you've seen Biden do a couple things, notably look into the availability of making sure that pills that can cause abortion are available to women, even in states where abortions are currently banned. But it seems like calls at this point to expand the Supreme Court really aren't going to be gaining much momentum with an institutionalist like Biden in the White House, and also folks like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the Senate, who just really have not had the appetite to try and move legislation expanding the court up to this point.
What do we know about this January 6th hearing that we just found out yesterday is going to happen today?
So we've seen reporting from a couple of outlets, Punchbowl, Politico, CNN, that the surprise guest today is going to be Casey Hutchinson. She was a staffer to Mark Meadows, who was then chief of staff for Donald Trump. And she said that she has been in nearly every meeting that Trump has been in. And so she's been the source at this point for a lot of information that has come out throughout the January 6th hearing. And even before that, I mean, she was one of the sources that documents were being destroyed via being flushed in the toilet, that members of Congress had asked for Trump to pardon them and to be have their names added to the pardon list. The committee wasn't supposed to have any hearings this week. They bumped them all back until July. And now they said that this is needed to happen. Expectations are very high. John Dean, who, of course, was such a central figure in the Watergate scandal, tweeted that this better be a big deal, saying that it need to rise to the importance of Alex Butterfield testifying that to Nixon's secret taping system. So it's high expectations for the committee today. Of course, a big question mark as to what exactly we're going to be seeing from this testimony.
Yeah, no, we'll be watching for that hearing to get underway right around 1 p.m. Wall Street time from Capitol Hill. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thanks as always for the update from the nation's capital. You can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures are on the rise. S&P futures up 23 points, Dow futures up 201, NASDAQ futures with a gain of 64 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 14/32nds, the yield 3.25%. Yield on the 2-year note, 3.14%. Looking at commodities, NYMEX crude is up 1.75%, up $1.91 to $111.49 a barrel. COMEX gold down $1, $18.23.80 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.